Welcome to CHOATE's Examining Patents podcast series, where we explore best practices, cautionary tales, and the latest news in patent protection.
Hello, and welcome to this CHOATE podcast. I'm Rolando Medina, partner in the patent group at CHOATE. My practice focuses primarily on patent prosecution and counseling in the biotech area. And with me today is my colleague, Dan Klein, counsel in our patent group at CHOATE. Dan's practice focuses on patent prosecution in the chemistry space. We are here today to discuss the USPTO's new fee requirement based on information disclosure statement size, which went into effect on January 19th. This new IDS size fee is distinct from the standard IDS timing fee, which is the long established fee that applies or not, depending on the stage of your application in the examination process. That timing fee will continue, and this new fee will be assessed in addition. Essentially, the new rule places two new requirements on every IDS filed on or after January 19th. First, an applicant must tell the patent office which, if any, IDS size fee applies. And second, an applicant must actually pay any amount due. But before we go into the details, Dan, could you walk us through the basic framework of the new IDS size fee?
Thanks, Rolando. Hi, everyone. So which IDS fee applies depends on the cumulative total of references cited in the application to date. So determining that entails counting all the references cited by the applicant during prosecution. And then if that total exceeds any of the thresholds that are set by the rule with that IDS filing, then you incur the fee. And the thresholds that the rule sets out are 50 references, 100 references, and 200 references. So as Rolando mentioned, each time you file an IDS, you have to make an assertion about the fee, and you can either assert that no fee is due or indicate which fee under 37 CFR 1.17V is due. And the rule actually says you should reference the paragraph of 37 CFR 1.17V. So up to 50 references cited, there's no fee due. As soon as you get to a cumulative total of 51 references and up to 100, then you pay the fee under 1.17V1. And that's currently $200. Once you exceed 100 references, then you pay the fee under 1.17V2, which is currently $500. And when you exceed 200 references, then you pay the fee under 1.17V3, and that's currently $800. Now, as I mentioned, it's exceeding the threshold with the IDS filing. If you previously filed an IDS and you surpassed one of those thresholds and paid the associated fee, then no fee is due until you file an IDS that exceeds the next threshold. So for example, let's say you file your first IDS and you cite 70 references. You've exceeded the 50 reference threshold, so you pay the fee for filing more than 50 references. Then in your second IDS, you file another 20 references. Right now you have a total of 90, which is in that same 51 to 100 bucket of 1.17V1. So even though you've exceeded 50 references, you already paid once for exceeding 50 references. So you don't have to pay with this second IDS filing because you haven't exceeded the next threshold.
Got it. Thanks, Dan. So since the fees that Dan has discussed will be based on the number of references, I think we should discuss exactly how to determine the count. First, a citation counts whether or not a copy of that reference is actually supplied to the patent office, right? So, for example, if we cite a U.S. patent in an IDS without submitting a copy of that U.S. patent, that still counts. Also, you should be aware that each instance of a duplicate reference counts, each instance of that duplication. So avoid listing the same citation on multiple IDS submissions. The exception to this is a resubmission of a reference that was previously unconsidered by an examiner. And in that scenario, it does not add to the count. Also excluded from the count are any references filed by third parties, such as third-party submissions or third-party requesters in a re-examination. And finally, the count is determined for each application or each patent separately. So each new application or proceeding starts the count at zero. The count for a continuation, divisional, or CIP application starts at zero. Also, post-grant proceedings, re-examination, reissue, supplemental exams also start at zero. We should note, however, that filing an RCE does not reset the count to zero. So, Dan, once the count's been determined, what fees will actually need to be paid?
So determining the fee due varies slightly depending on whether the first IDS in an application was filed before or after the rule went into effect. So for applications in which the first IDS is filed on or after January 19th, we have one set of rules, and then it's slightly different if you filed an IDS before January 19th. And I want to draw the distinction. It doesn't matter when the application was filed, right? So for example, if you filed an application in December of last year, but you still haven't filed your first IDS in that application, then you are in the situation where your first IDS is filed on or after January 19th. So in that situation, you look at the total number of references submitted by the applicant during the course of prosecution, and then the applicable fee is the fee set by the rule. But what you have to understand is that the fees set out in the rule are cumulative fees. So you account for any fees that you paid for previously. So for example, let's say you file your first IDS with 110 references. You're going to pay the fee for exceeding 100 references, which is currently $500, right? That's what the rule sets out. But compare that to the situation where you file your first IDS with 70 references. Now you're in the 51 to 100 bucket. So you're paying the fee for exceeding 50 references, and that's currently $200. And then you file a second IDS with another 40 references. Now you've got a total of 110 references. So you've exceeded the 100 reference threshold. And the fee for that is $500. But you've already paid $200 with your first IDS filing. So you're not going to pay $500. You're going to pay the difference between those, which is just $300. And that brings the total payment to $500. So two different examples. In each one, there's a total of 110 references. The total of payment is $500 in either case, but the timing of the payments is what's different.
So what happens to your pending applications in which references were already filed before January 19th? Well, these previously filed references still count towards a cumulative total, but there are no back fees due or no retroactive assertions required for any previously filed IDS. In other words, any IDS filed before January 19th. A fee is incurred only when you file an IDS on or after January 19th, and that IDS causes the total to exceed one of the thresholds that Dan's discussed. Okay, so let's take an example. In a first scenario, say before January 19th, a first IDS was filed with 70 references, right? At that time, of course, no IDS size fee was due because the rule was not yet in effect. And then after January 19th, a second IDS is filed with another 20 references. So at this point, the cumulative total is 90. And here, no fee is due because the second IDS did not cause any threshold to be exceeded. Again, those thresholds being 50, 100, and 200 references. And the second IDS here caused the cumulative number to increase from 70 to 90. Later, a third IDS is filed with another 20 references. So the cumulative total now is 110. Here, we would need to pay the fee for exceeding the 100 reference threshold, as the third IDS increased the cumulative count from 90 to 110. In an interesting second scenario, let's say you have a pending application in which more than 200 references were filed before January 19th. Here, no IDS size fee is due or will ever be due going forward, no matter how many more references are filed. As discussed, a fee is incurred only when an IDS filed on or after January 19th causes the total to exceed one of the thresholds. And in this example, because the highest 200 reference threshold was already exceeded before January 19th, there is no threshold left to exceed with any IDS filed post January 19th.
Right. And it's important to remember that even when no size fee is due, you still have to make the assertion required by the rule. And in this case, you would simply assert that no size fee is due. Because if you file an IDS and you omit the size fee assertion, that will render the IDS non-compliant and the examiner will not consider it.
Ah, yes. Good point, Dan. Finally, we should note that the applicant is responsible for determining the appropriate IDS size fee assertion, as well as the fee payment. So neither the patent office nor examiners are required to track any of this. The upshot is that in addition to increasing overall patent office fees, this new rule also increases an applicant's administrative burden associated with prosecution matters. With that, thank you for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me, Dan, or any of the other patent practitioners at CHOTE.
The information presented in this recording is for educational purposes only. It does not constitute legal advice for a specific situation. If you wish to obtain legal advice, you should retain an attorney and explain the facts of your particular situation.